Welcome to today's meeting of the Commonwealth Club of California. I'm Reverend Will McGarvey, Executive Director of the Interfaith Council of Contra Costa County. We are 106 congregations from Richmond to Byron, Martinez to San Ramon that work together out of our dialogue to try and make the East Bay a better place of interfaith understanding and interfaith peace. And we also run a winter nights rotating shelter and have singing messengers and oversee the juvenile detention chaplaincy at Juvenile Hall in Martinez as well. I'll be the moderator for today's program called The Unity of Sacred Symbols and Words. We also welcome our listening and internet audiences and invite everyone to visit us online at www.commonwealthclub.org. Because it's only a recording today, if you wanted to follow along online to be able to see some of Salma's work, please go to salmaarastu.com, salmaarastu.com. Now, it's my pleasure to introduce our distinguished speaker. Salma Arastu was born and educated in India, where she earned her fine arts degree. Salma's work with continuous and lyrical line is influenced by her native culture and her residence in Iran and Kuwait. Salma came to America in 1987. As a woman and a Hindu and a Muslim, Salma has stated that she can help create harmony through the expression of the divine in her multicultural art. Do take advantage of visiting her studio. It is a wonderful, wonderful space. There will be a book signing afterward, and would you please help me welcome the fabulous artist, Salma Arastu.
Thank you so much. I'm so pleased to see so many people have come today to share my work here. And I especially want to thank Celia for inviting me here and Commonwealth Club to give me this platform to share my work with you. And also I'm very grateful to Will McGarvey for coming to my studio especially to see my work in original and understand my work. So thank you so much. So it's a pleasure to share my work always. And this project, which I started about a year back, after I received the grant from East Bay Community Foundation, and also my donor support, because they supported me to match the grant. It was a matching grant. And also I'm very grateful to the Chaplaincy Institute in Berkeley, who were my fiscal agents. And they have supported me by expanding my audience base with this project. So many things to be grateful for, really speaking. And, well, before I proceed with my presentation, there's one more thing I would like to say, that this is my humble effort in the direction of visual interfaith dialogue, I call it. And I'm not a religious scholar, I'm not a theologian, but I'm just an artist, and I want you to see this work as from artist's point of view, and actually it's from my heart to your hearts. So before I go ahead, I would like to just read my statement so that it clears my vision and my purpose of doing it. We live in a global world today, and we are connected. Our destiny is shared. We can only find peace and success when we accept certain obligations to one another and to future generations. As the world becomes more globalized and cultures intersect in new regions, increasing exposure to the belief systems of the formerly distant cultures, the hard lines and the divisions between the East and West will really be no longer relevant. Born into the Hindu tradition in my native India, and embracing Islam later on, I have enjoyed the beauty of these two distinctive traditions firsthand. Through my belief in the unity of an all-encompassing God, I was able to transcend barriers of religion and culture. I want to use my life experiences to bridge the solidifying divisions between different faiths that are so prevalent in our culture today. By sharing my experiences and my thoughts, I hope to bring my viewers certain understanding of harmony and peace through which this important art project and to inspire to build bridges between all faiths and form a dialogue of understanding. So now we begin with our slide. I hope I'm holding it right. So what is a sacred text? I think it's like a Bluetooth and wireless connection to the ultimate unity. And you may have your own opinions about it, but I think ultimately, according to all religious systems, underlining all the diversity is one single unity, be it one's soul, the presence of God, or simply emptiness. Ralph Waldo Emerson has called the ultimate reality the universal mind, and the various faith traditions have called it Yahweh, God, Allah, Bhagwan, Atma, Almighty, Christ, Jesus, Great Spirit. I have tried to bring all these themes in one painting on this, in this painting. And now I move on to my... So I want to tell you what inspired me to do this project. I have been doing a lot of paintings from Quranic verses lately, since 3-4 years. I'm trying to do research. I'm trying to find the positive and beautiful verses from Quran and relating them in the paintings, because my intention is to erase this negativity about Islam and Quran. As an artist, I feel that's my responsibility. So as I have been researching, as I have been reading Quran, I have come across such beautiful verses, and particularly this verse, which says, so that you know each other. The Arabic letter at the bottom of this painting is litarifun, and that means so that you know each other. And now, just read the English translation of the whole verse. O mankind, we created you from a single pair of male and female, and made you into nations and the tribes that you may know each other. So that is a single purpose of the creativity for, and it's amazing that God has planned this diversity. It's inbuilt in the nature. So this verse actually inspired me, and I started reading about other sacred. I started reading from other sacred books, and I was amazed that how we talk about the same philosophy in different languages. So I know we all know about it, but I wanted to present it in visually, because I think painting can penetrate deeper than the words sometimes. Words may hurt somebody, but the paintings will give you the soothing effect, and they will help you to understand what I'm trying to say. So I divided this project into 5 segments. Layers of sacred text, unity mandalas, community collaborative works, spiritual poets in search of eternal love. I'm so sorry, it's a spelling mistake. Parallel myths and mysteries. So I begin with the layers of sacred text. And my method of painting is working through thin transparent color layers and adding details in between. It is a process through which I arrive at the final image, which was buried under my subconscious. So I decided to approach the subject in the same manner and call the series Layers of Sacred Text. So when I went into the research, I realized that there are so many different faiths and different literature. So I decided to limit myself to 5 faith traditions like Christianity, Judaism, Islam, and Hinduism, and picked up a few general topics. And now I will show you my paintings in this series. And I will not give you the sources now while I'm giving this talk, because I want you to feel the way I felt when I read this as a paragraph, a different sentence from different sacred text, you will see that each sentence is building upon other sentence, the former sentence. And it's actually explaining the same theme, same thought in a beautiful way. So this one is the first one I created. And the first question was, is God one? And then I found these answers. God is one. God, there's none other than besides Him. He's Allah, other than whom there's no deity. I am the ultimate consciousness situated within the heart of all living entities. Listen, Israel, the Lord is our God and the Lord is one. So when I read it to you, don't you feel it's just one person telling this whole thing? So I like the beauty of this work, you know. I really enjoyed it. I did, of course, research online first, but then I come across a beautiful book, World Scriptures, you know, on Amazon.com, and that helped me a lot. So there is, and in fact, if I want to do, there are so many themes, but for this particular project, I have picked up like 10 subjects. So the next is equality. Has not one God created us? I look upon all creatures equally. You are all one in Christ Jesus. O mankind, we created you from a single pair of male and female. And this one is about love and family. I take thy hand in mine for happy fortune that thou may reach old age with me. Therefore shall a man leave his father and his mother and shall cleave to his wife, and they shall be in one flesh. He created for you from yourselves mates that you may find tranquility in them. I'm sure you're enjoying it as much as I have enjoyed doing them. So the next is, God is without form. Truly thou art a God who hides thyself. For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, says the Lord. No vision can grasp him, but his grasp is over all vision. He is above all comprehension. The eye cannot see it, the mind cannot grasp it. And then next one is, God is close. When my servants ask thee concerning me, I am indeed close to them. I listen. For one who remembers me without deviation, I am easy to obtain. Here I want to just tell you something. Like in this particular one, I have used only two sacred texts, like Quran and Bhagavad Gita, because I knew Bhagavad Gita as a child, you know, from childhood, and Quran. So this particular verse is very dear to me because it talks about how God is close to you. So I think I really enjoyed doing this one. And generally, as I said, I have taken about 4 to 5 versions. So the next one is... friendship and community. God can be achieved only when they are all one brotherhood. The believers indeed are brothers. Happy is the unity of Sangha. Happy is the disciple of the united ones. I do not pray for these my disciples only, but for those who believe in me. May we unite in our minds, unite in our purposes, and not fight against the divine spirit within us. So, the next one is about the good human being. And I think again here I chose two books only, the Quran and Bhagavad Gita, because I knew about it more closely. So here it says, a good human being, one who believes in God, establishes prayer and gives in charity, is patient in poverty and hardship, and has compassion for all beings. Non-violence, truthfulness, modesty and determination, radiance, forgiveness, fortitude, purity, freedom from malice, absence of pride arise in one born of divine nature. And next one is a little different. Let me tell you, all these paintings are very large. Some of them are even 6 feet wide. But this one I have done on 4 different panels. It's about dominion of God. So I'll just read to you again. The whole world was created only for the sake of the righteous man. Truly do I exist in all beings, but I am most manifest in men. Be fruitful and multiply and fill the earth and subdue it, and have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the birds of the air, over every living thing that moves upon the earth. We did indeed offer the trust to the heaven and the earth and the mountains, but they refused it, but man undertook it. So the whole beautiful world is created for the righteous man. And this is, the final one in this layer of sacred text. This talks about that God is everywhere. God is in heaven above and on the earth below. Allah is the light of the heavens and the earth. So that brings me where I end this layers of sacred text. And you can ask me about them later on, but these are, as I said, a lot of textures in them, and they are very large paintings and very colorful, which I know we are missing that color here because of the projector, but that's something we cannot help. And the next project was, for me, Unity Mandalas. So Unity of Sacred Text is my theme, and I have used the mandala structure along with the sacred symbols of different faith traditions to graphically depict this idea, which I call the circle of life. My intention was to create beautiful, peaceful mandala compositions, including as many as symbols as I could. And so first I found many, many symbols, and these were like my designs, as I was painting. And then I will show you some of my created mandalas, unity mandalas, I call them. So as you see, this is actually a square, but it shows the world, and then inside it we are all floating with different thoughts, different philosophies, but we are all leading to one direction. As a circle of life, you know, we are just moving along. So my intention was to the colors and the textures and the design, and create a very subdued and eye-catching designs, basically. Because I think when we are all together, we can create the beauty. So this one shows that center is a source, like power, energy, light. Everything is in center, and these religious symbols are just part of the sphere, you know, like we are just part of the atmosphere. Oh, sorry. This one is interesting for me because, as I told you, I was raised as Hindu, so I knew how to write Om. And when I learned Arabic, I was very fascinated that Allah is written like this. Same shape was turned just horizontal, I thought. So that was a new discovery for me. So I have done this composition in quite a few paintings, and here I added the cross and the David star and the lotus at the bottom to add other religious symbols. And this is the final dream, you know, like I'm hoping that all the religious symbols are there, but the symbol of peace is flying around. Like, ultimately, when we all unite together, it will be total peace. So that brings to end of that section also, that segment. And now I'll talk about my community collaborative works, which I was doing alongside. Like, I was doing my paintings, and I was also holding these workshops. So what I was doing, that I would take my canvases there, or maybe I'll invite other communities to my studio, and I would keep one Arabic word, you know, like freedom or joy or unity, such words to them in Arabic. And then I'll ask them to relate their feelings and their thoughts in their language according to their sensibility. So this was a very, very interesting, exciting project. I went to Nayyad Center in Richmond. These are the disabled artists, but wonderful artists, beautiful artists. And then I have worked with Chaplaincy Institute individuals. These are very matured and very spiritual people. So that way I also worked with my artist friends. So let me go through the works that we produced. So this is with the Nayyad Center, where I gave them the word freedom. And I was so happy. They were so excited. I picked up four artists and I worked with them. So each one had related the freedom with happiness, with the joy, you know. The one said, to walk with my dog is my freedom. Others say the flowers give me the freedom, you know, like, so it was very interesting, the interpretation, you know. So then I put them together and I combined the whole composition with the Arabic letter freedom. And this one was created with the Chaplaincy Institute. So I took my canvas there. I just gave a blue wash and I wrote Assalamu Alaikum. That means peace be upon you. And then these artists were so excited. Believe me or not, they copied my Arabic. They wrote in English, in Hebrew, and added designs, geometric designs. And it turned out to be a beautiful piece. And this I created in my studio with my artist friends from Northern California Women Caucus of Arts. And what I did, I put a canvas on the wall, and then I wrote three words, love, unity, and freedom. And this is the rest of the things are all from other artists. So it turned out very beautiful piece too. And some of the artists wanted to do individual pieces, like the Nayat Center artists had done. So in this, they created their own pieces, and again, I put it together in one canvas. And this piece I took to Inner Eye event in Fremont, and these are very educated people and very interesting crowds. So I took my half-done painting there, and I had talked about in that about the equality of men and women. And then they added some, I know it's a very subdued painting. One girl added that boy equals a girl, you know, on the right corner. And somebody added the bird, somebody added those two feathers. So it was interesting. I mean, they left some mark on my painting, and I felt good about it that we are creating together. So now let me tell you about this segment. This is very important to me. I was raised reading the devotional songs of Saint Mirabai. Mirabai is from 16th century, and she is a Hindu mystic poetess. And I loved her songs, and I used to sing those. It was like when we used to pray in our prayer home at home, my mother would ask me to sing those songs, you know, like, so it was amazing. And then when I got married, and slowly, gradually, I learned about Islam, and then I reached Rumi, as everybody reaches Rumi when I reached Berkeley. So I started reading Rumi, and I said, wow, Rumi talks about the same eternal love which Mirabai used to talk about, you know. So I call my life now, my journey from Mirabai to Rumi, in search of eternal love. So it's amazing. So I definitely wanted to include these two poets in my work. So I have a similar poetry, you know, from them. So this one is from Rumi. I have discovered the treasure. Like, it's a Sufi thought. Allah, he's surrounded by Allah. And he says that I have discovered the treasure. And same way, Mirabai is saying, I have found the name of God. That is my treasure, you know, that name of God. And then Rumi says, no one understands my pain of separation. And the similar thought, I have the poems, original ones, but we don't have that much time. But the same thought is in Mira's poetry. So if you want to know more about it, you can ask me later. But it was an amazing project for me. And this is the final segment, Parallel Myths and Mysteries. Because this I didn't plan in the beginning, you know, when I submitted my grant proposal, I thought I'll do only layers of sacred text. But then I found so many similarities, you know, each time I was going through this research. So I just definitely wanted to include this. So I knew about the birth of Lord Krishna, that he was born in the prison, and then God asked his father to take him in the basket through the Yamuna River to keep him safe so that he can kill the evil in the world, you know. So, and the same way I learned about Prophet Musa very recently, about 3-4 years back, when I read about his life, that he was also born, and then God asked the mother to leave him in the basket to save him from the Pharaoh, you know. So very interesting. I thought it's so similar. I was wondering if Prophet Musa was Lord Krishna or Lord Krishna was Prophet Musa. But it is there. And the second story is Immaculate Birth of Jesus, which we all know so well. But there's another mythological story in Hindu stories that Karan was born to Pandava queen Kunti. And it's Immaculate Birth again. So just quickly, I'll show you the final images. So these are two I found online, very interesting. So then I did a very quick small painting, just trying to represent that. And then this is about the Moses and Krishna I found online. So then I did this version. It's on one painting. At the bottom is the Lord Krishna's birth in the prison. And then father is asked to take him in the basket. And then mother of Musa is leaving him in the water also. So I think we'll keep some time for the question answer. But let me talk about this, my final slide. This is also this painting inspired from the same verse from Quran, so that you know each other. So in this, I put the verse around the circle, and in the middle are all people, different colored people. And the center is litarfun, and that means so that you know each other. So I shaped it like a heart. As I said, it's from my heart to your heart. So let's know about each other from heart, not from the mind. Thank you.
Thank you. I think it's okay. That's better. Thank you. Let me just put this a little closer to you.
Yeah.
There you go. Thank you for a wonderful presentation. And I'll just remind our listening audience online that you can see these works at salmaarastu.com. And if you go to the paintings link, then to 2014, and you'll be able to see all of the art that has been referenced. Thank you so much for your sharing. And now it's time for questions and answers. And we do have a few questions from our guests today. Do you have a favorite quote from Rumi?
Oh, there's several. Oh, is it on?
Yes, it is.
Yeah. Oh, there's several, but right now, excuse me, I'm a little blank. But I love Rumi. I think Rumi speaks my heart. That's all I can say.
You have a whole book on Rumi.
Yes.
With many paintings and many other quotes around the different sayings of Rumi.
Yeah, actually, let me tell you, in 2012, I did another project which I called Turning Rumi, Singing Verses of Love, Unity and Freedom. So in that project, again, I had received the grant, and then I did about 54 paintings. And all those are in one catalog also. So I was just reading Rumi, and the images were appearing in front of me, and I just went on painting them. So, yeah, if you want to see, it's on my website also, and even the catalog is on the website, I think.
There's a beautiful motion in your art, especially when you portray people. It looks like they're moving.
Yeah, I think I'm right from beginning when I started painting. That's about 35, 38 years back. I did my master's in painting from India, and I was so lucky. My family encouraged me, and I have been painting right from childhood. So I was really inspired by God. I think, let me tell you one thing. I was born with two beautiful blessings from God. One was urge to create, and other is the urge, the love for God. So I think I was so influenced and inspired by the beauty of nature, the movements in nature, the energy of nature, you know. Like, so in the beginning, my paintings were really inspired directly from the nature, and with a lot of movement, like, you know, clouds and the waves and the like different kind of movements in the nature. So that has continued in my work. I think the movement is my main theme and the lyrical line, because I have been inspired with Arabic calligraphy also. So that's why you see a lot of moving lines, and they connect, they become human figures, connected human figures, etc. Yeah.
Another question is, did you consider looking into indigenous cultures and religions, and such as sacred geometry, when starting this project?
No, frankly speaking, let me tell you, I think my hand is guided by superpowers. Truly speaking, I don't plan my work. I don't I don't design my compositions like actually with the pencil. They just flow out. I just go to my canvas and I know my God, because I think I'm a tool and it has to come through me very purely, truly, through my hand. So I don't try to necessarily learn rituals and, very academic way of doing. I believe in my intuitions and I start like that.
There is a good, greater texture to your work than what we can show with the projector. And it's one of the reasons why I'll encourage you to go to the studio to actually see it, because the level of texture that you add to it with the acrylic is important. What medium do you find the easiest to create your fluidity above the text?
Yeah, I think I have found acrylics, and I feel I love them because with acrylics I can use different mediums, I can collage with different materials. I can use copper, I can use paper, I can use glue, I can use paper mache, pen and ink. Everything works together with acrylics. I was painting in oils in the beginning till 1991, but after that, when I discovered acrylics and the layers, how I can put single transparent layers upon layers, and build up the mystery of the painting, So I think I'm very happy with the acrylics, yes. Mm-hmm.
You also do some wood cuts and metal cut art as well.
Yeah, it so happened that around 2005, I think as I told you, I was doing landscapes, the energy in the movement, then I did people connected together. So suddenly I felt I want to reach out in public. Like, I want to tell everybody how happy I am and the blessings that I have received. I wanted to spread the joy. So I think that really made them three-dimensional. I didn't realize, but slowly I started designing my people in a dancing figures. And then I started getting them cut in the wood and the aluminum, the steel. And people have loved it. And I'm so pleased to tell you that there are two pieces in the public art now, 10 feet tall. So I enjoy my work. Each day I enjoy my work, and each day I'm very grateful to God.
Could I be very rude and interrupt to say how beautiful your sculptures are?
Oh, thank you.
Words can't describe them, I believe.
Thank you so much. Thank
they
you.
Might be worth another presentation. We'd like to remind our listening audience that this is a Commonwealth Club program called Unity of Sacred Symbols and Words, speaking with Salma Aristu, artist and poet. Another question. One of God's names in Islam is Al-Musawwir, or the artist, meaning he is the artist behind all the beautiful creations.
Yes.
Did you find this as an inspiration for your work to reflect his artwork?
Yes, sure. But let me tell you one thing about my life experience. I'm so grateful that I always knew, as a Hindu also, I would say, God is the creator of everything. He is the inspiration behind everything. And when I married, many people ask me this question. So my transition had been so smooth, amazingly, because I believed my God is coming with me. He's not changing. I have to change the rituals. I have to change few ways of life. But otherwise, he is not changing. So that complete trust helped me, and I'm so happy that I'm enriched today and I have learned more about Allah, more about God. That's the amazing part of it.
Are you accepted as a Hindu and a Muslim in both religions?
No, I don't think so, but I call myself, because I can't deny that for 25 years of my life I was a Hindu, and I had a beautiful life, and I wasn't against Hinduism in that sense. I didn't take Islam because I didn't like Hinduism or I was unhappy, I was searching. No, I think it's an extension for me, as I said, because I found this loving person. And I wanted to marry him, that's all. And about 40 years back, it wasn't allowed in India that I marry without changing my religion. So that's the basic reason. So though people may not like it, I know, but I can't deny my past. I cannot deny myself.
I'm meeting more and more people like you that are taking on dual religious identifications or multiple religious identifications. Here's another question. How do you reconcile the opposing urges towards tribalism and unity in your work?
Say it again.
How do you reconcile the opposing urges towards tribalism and unity in your work?
Only thing I can say that I really don't want to think about these opposite viewpoints, you know. Because I believe in God, I know He does everything with a purpose. Allah does everything with a purpose. And He has some plans, I'm sure about it. If this is happening, there's so much trouble in the world, but then at the second side, you will see that we are trying to learn about Islam. So that's the beauty of it. I think God knows better why He's doing these things, and I don't want to interfere with this universal plan. I'll continue doing what I'm doing. I want to project that we are all united, we are all one. We are all one with God, and we are all one humanity. That's what I believe in. It lets me carry on like that.
I notice that there tend to be greater similarities between mystics of all traditions than those of
the fundamentalists
within each of those traditions.
Yeah. I agree there, because the mystics, I think they are blessed with the love of God. And all we need is love of God and love for humanity. And definitely, fundamentalism, you know, I don't know, they think differently, but I can't change their thinking, but I'll persist what I'm saying.
Do you find inspiration in any other traditions?
Frankly, I haven't gone deeper into many traditions. Buddhism, of course, I know a little bit, and that way Christianity. I love them all, even Judaism, because, as I said, since I've studied them since 3 years, I think they all are so beautiful. They all say something beautiful. And as I was reading each sentence from different sacred texts, it's building on each sentence, you know. Like, so if you think like that, where's the problem? There's no problem.
I find having the Shema next to other Arabic and other religious statements, with the layering effect that you do, an intriguing way of marrying the unity between the religious impulses that are in those statements.
Thank you. Yeah, that's what I've been trying to do, yeah.
Where did you find the inspiration for the abstract elements in your paintings?
Oh, well, I did my master's in painting from India. So let me tell you, when I joined the college, did my bachelor's, we go through all real things. Like, we have to do the portraits, life drawing, still life, landscapes. So we learn all the techniques and drawing and everything. But when we go for masters, especially in India, that's, I'm sure here also, so there the professor asked me, what do you want to do? So I think he changed my thinking. He led me to think, what do I want to do? Like, and when I went deeper into that thought, I think it became abstract. Because I think that's what happens when you go through the whole reality, you ultimately reach the abstract, and that is the reality, because until you're in the circle of the chair and the desk and, you know, like the real things, you know, but when you rise above them, it's all abstract. So I think it was very natural to my mystic thought, you know. It matched with my mystical thinking, the abstraction. So it's natural to me, I think.
Well, especially because of your process.
Maybe, yeah, that's how. Yeah. And when I've been painting for so many years, so I think it happens very gradually.
Yeah. What inspired you to choose the text that convey your childhood feelings?
Say it again?
How did you choose the texts from different traditions?
Oh, okay. Well, that's natural, because I knew Hindi. I knew Sanskrit. And then I learned Arabic. I know I can write Arabic. So Hebrew I have been copying, truly speaking. My friend wrote it for me and I copied the text. And English we know. So, you know, interesting part, when I did these four traditions, Arabic and Hebrew, they start from the right to left. and English and Hindi, Sanskrit, they start from left to right. So I was thinking these are two opposing, you know, in painting we are taught we should use the contrast and things like that. So I think it was very naturally happening that I had these two different kind of scripts, you know. So, and I enjoyed doing them because being an artist, for me these were like designs and the line, you know, like I wasn't reading them as a text in that sense, you know.
And it's more than just the words that you're writing. Once when I was in Safat in northern Israel, I came across a shop and the artist was making a very beautiful rendition of a psalm. Mm-hmm. Do you find that the calligraphy part of writing the texts is similar or dissimilar based on where they're coming from?
Yeah, it's very similar. I mean, because I was trained as an artist before I became Muslim. So let me tell you, I have got this freedom as an artist to use calligraphy as I want to use. Because I was trained as an artist before I was trained to be dogmatic thinker in, or fundamentalist Muslim. I should write only that way. So I think it is to my advantage because my purpose is to reach the whole world, not only Muslim community. I want to reach out to all, saying that love is everything and God is love. And we have to erase the differences. So for me, it has become very useful, I can say tool, you know, the calligraphy. Because now I use more like my brush, you know, like I'm not worried about the other thing, except that I do the correct writing and write in my free way.
Do you think art can lead the way to peace? Realistically speaking, in this troubled world?
I think yes, because as I say, the words create conflicts, the words create reactions, but the painting doesn't create any. It only creates a soothing reaction on the viewer. And if you don't like it, you'll move away. But the words, they stick in your mind. I mean, that's something, you know, I always feel. So I think the painting will speak more strongly than a sermon. Right? It gives you more positive thinking than the words from a sermon, you know.
The mandalas that you paint, and you include so many different symbols of different faith traditions. As you make these mandalas, are you praying a prayer?
Oh, yes. Let me tell you. As I said, I truly believe that my hand is guided and I'm just doing my work as God has guided me to do. And in fact, let me tell you, I do pray that may God help me to do what He wants me to do. And then I that's general prayer in my mind. So when I do that, so yeah, it's like when I'm painting, it's like a meditation for me. And especially if you see my work online, my calligraphy paintings, you will see I repeat the verse maybe 50 times, sometimes 80 times in one surface. So it's like echo, you know, the echo of that prayer, like my God is close to me. So I have written it maybe 80, 90 times on one canvas. So when I'm writing it, it's like my prayer, my God is close to me. Don't be afraid. My God is with me. So it's like a prayer for me, my meditation. Yeah.
Hine matov umashayim, chevet achim gom yamgad.
You have to tell me.
It's a part of the Hebrew scriptures that says how blessed and peaceful when siblings work together.
Yes.
And live together in peace.
Yeah.
sometimes seeing the foreignness of another language and not being able to understand all of them, like you may be able to. How would you encourage audiences to be able to delve into those other words that are on your paintings but may not be known to the viewer?
Yeah, I think I had the paper here, which some of you might have got it, and it's my research. Like, it gives you the sources from where I got it and the English translations of those. So I think that may help you, or if you want to ask me later on, contact me, sure. And one thing I want to say before I forget, When you brought this question that how do I call myself Hindu and Muslim, so let me tell you, as I said, virtue of a good human being was same in Hinduism and Islam, okay? Like, and same prayers and same, everything was same, really speaking. But there's one difference which I think I have liked in Islam is that God is one, because in Hinduism sometimes it was confusing, though they believe God is one. And all these Lord Krishna and Lord Rama, these are the incarnations, you know. They are not gods, they are actually incarnation of the God on this earth. But still, sometimes they confuse you, some rituals that pray to this God for this purpose and pray to that God for this purpose. But here I found such a relief. And as I said, abstract. I love abstraction. So it's like my mind is clear that it's without form. He's just God. He's everywhere. So that helped me. And another thing in Islam which I have liked is all are equal. Like there's no difference between rich and poor. There's no difference between black and white. There's no difference between male and female. There's nothing, no difference. So one humanity, one God. So I really, truly appreciate that now. And especially my experience with Hajj, I was amazed with so many different color-skinned people together, different languages, different sounds, different smells, and they're all in one search. They're all going around Kaaba. I mean, it's an amazing unity of diversity, and I really like that.
The Christians who use saints for prayer have a very similar way of praying through saints to the one God, asking for their intercession on their behalf as well.
Yeah. Even in Islam, they say you should take the favor of Prophet Muhammad or, you know, his family.
Have you done anything with saints or incarnations in the Indian tradition?
No, not exactly. As I tell you, frankly speaking, I was in abstract form, you know, of painting. And I was doing these people connected together and, you know, dancing together, celebration of life and flow of humanity. Those were my subjects always. But I took over this religion part in me when I realized that so much negativity is happening. It was just inspired in me. I didn't do it with, I'll say I want to do it. No, it just happened with me. First I went towards Rumi, and then it naturally took me towards Quran, because Rumi is inspired from Quran. So when I went into Quran, Quran asked me to learn about others. So I went to learn about others. So I'm just flowing with that. So that's what I would say. Like I'm just a human being, and I'm truly surrendering myself. So I do what I'm inspired to do.
Is there any other burning questions from our guests today? Then let us thank Salma.
Thank you.
Thank you so much.
No, I must thank you. It's a pleasure to share. Thank you.
We also thank our audience here, those listening to the recording and on the internet. Now the meeting of the Commonwealth Club of California celebrating over 110 years of enlightened discussion is adjourned. Thank you for being here.